Sometimes on the way to church or driving around town, if Olivia happens to have her little Bible, we say, Olivia, please read to us, because she loves to read and it's fun to hear her little voice and it keeps her from punching her brother. And so she will open her little Bible. She'll say, what do you want me to read? And I'll say, well, just pick a spot. So on one particular day, we were driving to church, just pick a spot. She opens it up and she says, and when Noah awoke from his wine, and I said, skip a little bit, skip a little bit. So she does. She skips forward, and she says, Song of Solomon? And I said, skip a little more. Find the Jesus stuff. Skip to Jesus. Let's get to there. And I think that that is often my approach in life. I know Jesus is real, and he can fix these things, so let's just skip to him. Why do we have to ever talk about Zephaniah or deal with pain anymore? Jesus, we've expected your coming. You were born. We know that's all happened. What are we doing here? Still waiting. People who are living on this side of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, it's so hard to not want to skip ahead, isn't it? We know what's coming. It's hard to appreciate what a long, strange trip it's been. We just want to skip to Jesus and let him fix it. But today, on our way to Jesus and joy, we're going to stop and we're going to talk to the prophet Zephaniah, that very skippable prophet. We're going to look at a few verses from what he had to say as he waited and wished that he might be able to skip a few things himself. Zephaniah, like I said earlier, it's a pretty short book. It's only 3 chapters long. But I think the other reason why I would just love to skip past him and not ever think about his name again is this is some of the darkest stuff I've ever read in all of Scripture. So for just a quick minute, we're going to play a game. I call this game Zephaniah or Death Metal Lyrics. So I'm going to read you 3 lines, and you're going to just think in your head, okay, that's scripture, or no, that's something out of Ozzy Osbourne or something like that. So here they are, and we'll see how you do. I will eliminate humanity. I will make them suffer. Give you a few seconds to let that sink in. Fury, distress, anxiety, desolation, devastation. Dot, dot, dot. I could say a few more. Blood like dust, intestines like manure. All right, let's see how we did. Contestants. All right, 3 out of 3 of those were Zephaniah. All right, I didn't even have to look up or Google any death metal lyrics. I did. I won't read those to you. But I read this and I think, what song is this? We didn't sing that one when I was growing up in church. This is God's justice? That's terrifying, isn't it? Let's skip to Jesus, shall we? I think with this type of picture of God, most people are planning to be out of town on the day that the Lord returns. So we'll just miss that one. We'll be on vacation. And we have this mission statement here at Tempe where we say we're pursuing life with God together. But as you share that with someone who has a picture of God like Zephaniah has painted, they might think, why would you want to do that? Do you know these people? Are they in your life? Do you have these conversations where it's like, I just don't know if I want that God? I have those conversations with people. Maybe you have been that person and you're just not so sure that he's a God worth pursuing. This is what one famous person once said. You may know where this is from. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal. These are tough words, guys. Sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. This is how some people think of the God that says, I'm just and I'm for you. And so we might be forced to agree if all we knew was Zephaniah, right? But I think instead of skipping to the end, sometimes when we get caught up in that picture of God, we have skipped the end altogether. There's this over-the-top, disturbing imagery in this book that is heavy, and we don't want to sit with it for very long. But I wonder if God uses this kind of language because he said, I love you, and I'll be with you forever. And we said, yeah, we could take or leave that, and we still go our own way. And so he says, okay, let's try a different way of interrupting life and getting your attention. And he uses this just almost insane, unbelievable type of language to say, what you do does matter, and I haven't forgotten about you. Judgment is real. So in this idea, where we're at right now, God is very upsetting, isn't he? And he's to be feared and to be dreaded. But what I love about the Advent season is that God upsets our expectations, and he does it in all the best ways. He steps into the picture, and we see something a little bit different. And even Zephaniah says that, yeah, that's true. Read along with me, if you will, if you found Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So we've got this picture of what it would be like for God to just wipe everything out. Almost reminds you of the flood. But Zephaniah says, no, actually, here's what happens when God does show up. Rejoice, daughter Zion, and shout, Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, he is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, don't be afraid, Zion. Don't let your hands fall. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. When God shows up, his tune has changed. And Zephaniah doesn't really say a lot about why. The word becomes flesh. He's in our midst. And instead of wiping humanity from the face of the earth, we have this Christ child born in a manger. He's a victorious warrior, yes, but he's also the Prince of Peace. And the only blood that hits the ground when he shows up is his own. So we think, okay, so who is this God who calms us with his love, who sings a song over his people? Maybe something like Silent Night. He says, you've been singing to me for years and crying out for me to show up. And I'm here. So let me sing to you for a moment. The Lord is in our midst, and he joins us in suffering instead of causing our suffering. That's the kind of God that you can look forward to, right? I had a friend recently who had a medical procedure. He had to have a malignant tumor removed. Not a pleasant time for him in his life. But he wrote a few reflections afterward that I thought were really helpful. He said they had to create an incision to remove this tumor, but they also had to enlarge that incision so that it would heal correctly. And he said this. He said, not everything that hurts harms. And sometimes healing does hurt. But his thoughts on that were that with God, the goal is not to prevent all pain, but to bring us to the best possible result. And so when I think about pursuing life with God together, I love what happens when you finally get there. Because when you pursue life with God together as a community, you also get to experience him for yourself. And that experience turns out to be something very beautiful. We have this very unique relationship with God, don't we? What I get to experience with God is not the same exactly as what you get. Because he knows us each individually. He created us so uniquely. He steps into our pain and he steps into our gifts and he meets us there. And this is what I love about Zephaniah and about what he says about Jesus and then what Jesus proves to be true and what I believe will only be more and more true as we know God better and better. And that's this.
that God's justice meets us where we are, and it gives us exactly what is needed. He's not just waiting for us to mess up so he can slap us on the hand or worse. He says, how can I help? How can I help you do the next best thing you can possibly do? How can I meet you where you are? Because God has been pursuing us all along. So here's what you can expect, according to Zephaniah, when God shows up. He will remove those who are worried. He says, watch what I'm about to do to all of the oppressors at that time. And then he doesn't say much about what he does with that. Instead, he says, I will deliver the lame. I will gather the outcast. I will change their shame to praise and give them fame throughout the earth. What can you expect when you finally meet God face to face? You can expect him to say, please don't speak. I've been writing this song for you, and I want you to hear it. What would that song sound like for you? As you consider your life and the ups and the downs and the pains and the healing, what does that mean for you to hear a song about how your crippling, whatever has been holding you back, is taken away and God delivers you? How all of the loneliness you've ever experienced is now pushed aside and he says, welcome in. I wrote this song for you. I love how God, like in the Beatitudes, we just get exactly what we need. He said, blessed are those who mourn. There's comfort coming for you. And I think that that is just as true for the oppressors as the oppressed. What exactly do you need for me to help this get better? That is the heart of God. So that shame becomes praise and silence turns into song. I've worked a lot in recovery ministry and sat in those rooms where people talk about the things they thought they could never share with anyone. And it's interesting how quickly people are willing to open up and talk about those things and then move from that room to giving a testimony on a stage like this, and they talk about just the shamefulness of their life. But it's not so shameful anymore because they talk about how God has stepped into that and changed it into something beautiful, and now they can speak it and let the light hit it, and it's something completely different. Not something that they're proud of per se, but something that shows the love of God was great enough for even them, even me. God's judgment is good. It is best for everyone involved. I think about The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. How many versions of that have been made? I don't know. I keep thinking maybe they'll quit, but they don't. And that's okay because there's something in that story that is very powerful. It's a lot like Zephaniah, actually. These prophets keep showing up, and they start out kind of soft, like, hey, remember how good it was? And he says, yeah, that was nice, but you didn't hold on to that. You kind of pursued your own way. And by the end of it, it's like this dark specter who doesn't even speak to him anymore. It's just like, things are bad, man. But I like how God doesn't just send prophets and they says, well, I don't think I can speak to you anymore. He says, no, I'm going to keep sending these prophets and I'm going to tell you how bad it could be if you keep going this path. But, oh, by the way, let me send you my son, the word that speaks into life. God himself shows up and he helps us out of whatever we are, wherever we are. So as the Chafin family, we're working on trying to cultivate this environment where that is true of us as well. And we don't do this very well, but we're working on it. So when we're getting into like tense, stressful situations in our family, we're trying to say this phrase, what is the most loving thing that I can do? And then we try to do that. And I think that is just the heart of God for us, wherever we are. He thinks, what is the most loving thing that I can do for you where you are now? And then he does it. So if you can imagine yourself trying to do that and how that might impact your life in a positive way, and then imagine a God who actually is perfect love, stepping in and making that reality. That to me is why we can show up on Sunday week after week and we sing about joy, even though we know that right outside that door, pain is waiting to hold our hand again. God knows the most loving thing he could possibly do for us, and he doesn't hesitate to do it. Joy to the world because of that. Here comes heaven. Watch and see what God will do when when he steps into your life. That's what Zephaniah has to say about God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for perfect justice. Justice that is always good, that always helps, that never hurts. That should it hurt, Father, it is only for our healing. May we be people who embrace healing. May we be people who give our hearts to you. And may we love you with all that we are. May we ask what the most loving thing we could do might be. And may we do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our last song.